Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness and mercy to us. And day by day, we draw near to you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might minister to us and direct and guide us and help us, Lord Jesus, to walk with you and to live for you and to live according to your will. Father, sometimes we can stray, we can get off track, but even then, Lord, you call us back. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege and opportunity that is ours to come back and confess our sins and receive from you the assurance that we are forgiven, our sins are gone. So, Lord Jesus, bless again this evening as the word of God is preached, we pray, and help each one to rejoice in your mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. We went to Drumheller at Christmas time in order partly to be present for our granddaughter Jocelyn's baptism. Just yesterday, it seems, that I wrote that Jocelyn fell off the couch today. That was in 2002. 14 years ago. 13, well, I actually subtracted on the computer and it said it was 14 from 2016 to 2002. Oh, I see. Oh, dear. Now, I don't draw attention to this because Jocelyn is any more special than any of our other granddaughters. And I certainly don't feel that she's more special than your granddaughters or grandsons, as the case may be. I simply draw attention to this fact that spiritual growth in a Christian bears a remarkable similarity to the physical growth of a child. We've been reminded through the past five messages from 1 Peter of the glory of our salvation, the search for our salvation, the purpose of our salvation, the cost of our salvation, and now Peter addresses the source of our salvation. And so I'm going to suggest to you this evening just as in physical life, so in spiritual life. My first point, spiritual life requires a point of spiritual birth. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Am I repeating myself there? I think I did, didn't I? Yes, I think I put it down twice. I apologize. So, at any rate, spiritual life requires a point of spiritual birth. As in physical life, so also spiritual life requires a conception, a development, and a moment of birth. When I was 12 years old, I joined the church. That wasn't the Baptist church. It was another congregation, another church that in which no one asked me about whether I really knew the Lord Jesus as my Savior or whether there was any evidence of real Christianity in my life. It was just assumed that because I grew up in church, in a church-growing family. And because I had come to church for 12 years, then of course I was a Christian. I remember a different preacher who told how thrilled he was when he got my dad and a bunch of other farmers to join the church. No one asked them if they really knew the Lord Jesus either. No one ever told that preacher what a disservice he did to all of us in leading us to assume that we were all Christians because we went to church on Sunday. No, dear ones, that preacher should have learned a lesson from watching the birth and the growth of his children. There is no physical life without a physical birth, and there is no spiritual life without a spiritual birth. As Nicodemus learned from the Lord Jesus, no matter how religious a person is, it doesn't matter one bit if he has never been born again. Sin and iniquity have separated every human being from God, and as we saw last week, providing for our salvation had an infinite cost, for God's Son had to give His blood and His life to buy us back out of the slave market of sin, and therefore we must be born again by believing the gospel and entrusting our lives and our souls into the hands of Jesus. Listen to what this passage says, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which was by the gospel was preached to you. You know it's true. Jocelyn could never have been born if there had been no planting of physical seed. That seed began to produce physical body and physical life and an eternal soul, subject to the laws of decay and death. And then in God's time, that new life was brought forth into the child whom we have known and loved for these 14 years. Now, how does that picture the implanting of spiritual life? Once again, we see the same principle. There must be a planting of a life-bearing seed. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Spiritual life is produced by the imperishable seed of the word of God. The Word tells us about our God. It tells us about His creation of mankind. It tells us of our fall into sin. It tells us of the coming of the Savior to die for us. It tells us of our need to trust Him for salvation. It tells us of eternal life and of living forever with Him in glory. And as we hear these great truths, the Spirit of God so works in our hearts that we repent of our sin and turn to Christ in faith, and we are born again, born anew, born from above, into a new life which will not end in death, but gives us eternal life. That's the gospel, and that is the incorruptible seed. This is the word of God, which lives and endures forever. A little statement that I heard way back when I was first in an evangelical church. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Yes, you could have said it with me, couldn't you? Some of you at least could have said it with me. There must be a time of sowing. For many of us, that time of sowing began at birth. I see it with Gideon and Barnabas Casson. I suspect that songs are sung, that Bible stories are told, and that they have already begun their work, even in these two little children. As they grow into their first Sunday school classes, I know that our teachers will be faithful in presenting the Word of God at their own level of development. The love of parents, the love of teachers, the love of this church family will nourish the Word and develop in them an understanding of the fact that as great as they are, that they too have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The development of that understanding, we trust, will bring those children at an early age to ask questions about Jesus and salvation, and will present their parents the opportunity for them to realize that their need to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But how many children growing up in Kamloops will ever have that opportunity, or will never have that opportunity? They will never hear a Bible story from their parents. They will never experience the love of Sunday school teachers. And they will grow into youth and adulthood with little knowledge or understanding of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the sad truth of present-day life, isn't it? When I was growing up, we were still back in that day when it was normal, at least in the country areas. I don't know how much it was in the city areas at that time, but at least in the country outlying areas, it was pretty normal for families to go to church. If not all the time, at least some of the time. And so children were exposed to at least some degree. I still remember little Bible verses that the Sunday school bought from some curriculum, I guess. Just little ones like this, and one Bible verse on it, and we were given one of those little Bible verses each Sunday and asked to memorize it. Well, frankly, it wasn't that alone. It was also some magazines and some Christian literature that was sent to us by an aunt that all helped to work in my heart a desire for the Lord Jesus. Now, that didn't stop me from straying and from wandering for a period of time, but nevertheless, how thankful I am, how thankful you are, I'm sure, for the Word of God that was implanted in your heart, perhaps for most of you from a very early age. Spiritual life is produced by the imperishable seed of God. Now, who's going to bring to those children here in Kamloops, those youth, those adults, those seniors, the good news of the gospel, which is able to implant the seed of eternal life in their hearts? For some, Sunnybury Bible Camp can help. But how many from Kamloops know about Sunnybury? By the way, I've got new brochures for Sunnybury sitting on my desk downstairs that I keep forgetting to bring up and put on the counter here. So if you are interested in a brochure for Sunnybury to either give to your grandkids or families or whatever, be sure to ask me for them. I'll get them up here as soon as my mind remembers. And you can take them home and look at them and so on. So First Baptist Church, though, has a responsibility to do what we can to reach people in the community with the life-giving gospel. And we do what we can. Bridge Baptist Church has a responsibility to do what it can. And from what I hear, they've used some innovative ways of trying to reach people in their community. Have you heard of their outreach trailer? I've asked Pastor Claycamp to come tonight and share with us a word about that trailer and their outreach program so that we could get a little idea of some of the things that they have been doing to try to reach out to some of those young families that they have brought into that church.
So we have what we call a block party trailer, and essentially what it is it's a trailer full of bouncy castles that the kids like to jump on, inflatable bouncy castles, and it has popcorn machines, snow cone machines, different odds and ends, different games you can play, and all of that. And it all packs up into a trailer. And essentially what we do is we just challenge all of the members in our church, because we're primarily a younger congregation. Younger families tend to flock with other younger families to school events and things of that nature. And so we challenge the members of our church to connect with other families that they know either in their neighborhood or in their not Sunday school classroom, but in their public school classrooms. And then what we do is we farm that trailer out to different families, and we encourage them to continue to build those relationships, to connect with other families in their community, folks that they go to school with, etc. And the whole church will rally around each different family in our church as they do this in their respective neighborhoods, and we'll try to build relationships and connect with those other families, share the gospel with them, obviously invite them to church, and try to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. That's one way that we try to evangelize through our block party trailer.
Mm. Is there any other ways that you have been serving in outreach to try and reach people?
We basically encourage all of the members of our church to volunteer through Volunteer Kamloops. There's all different kinds of organizations in town that do all kinds of different things, and we try to volunteer wherever we can and meet a need wherever we can and make friends with the people that we meet through those volunteer and outreach opportunities. And of course, sometimes we just go in mass. In years past, we've on Canada Day, the Art in the Park event that happens at Riverside Park, you may have seen a whole flock of people running around wearing Bridge Baptist Church t-shirts and helping to pick up trash and helping the different artists and different individuals who are there trying to sell their artwork, just serving them. And obviously it's very clear we're with a church, and the organizers of Art in the Park are okay with us extending an invitation to church so long as we're there and we volunteer all throughout the day. And so you may have seen us doing that. And there are a lot of other ways that we serve as well. Sorry, this is all rather impromptu.
That's right. That's good. So that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear just some of the ways that you're seeking to do it, Joshua. So we want to bring that imperishable word of truth to the hearts of people by one means or another. Because spiritual life requires a point of spiritual birth. Well, secondly, physical life is brief and has a limited time span. In contrast to the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, physical life is brief. On the evening news, we hear people congratulated for being 100 years old, or 102 years old, or 105 years old, and sometimes even older. So if you just look at that, it would appear as though life can be quite long. But for many human beings, this life has a short shelf life. The Word of God reminds us, verse 24, that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Now, isn't that the case in terms of human beings? There's making a comparison here. Human beings compared to the impermanence of the grass, which, or the flowers, or that which grows up and lasts for a very short period of time and is gone again. There are so many ways to die. Every evening's news reminds us of those folks who had every expectation of a long life, whose lives have been cut off in avalanches, in accidents, all kinds of accidents, by disease. Each person thinks that they have forever. But even those who live under the best of circumstances find that the grass withers and its flower falls away. Like the Swede who says, too schön alt, too late schmart. I think of Fred Versief. Fred Versief, one of the men that he, with his wife, came along to our services here for a number of years, was called the money man. He worked, I believe, for the city in the accounting department. And he told me over and over again how much he was looked upon as being the man that had all the figures at his fingertips. He was the money man. They looked up to him in that way. By the time I came on the scene, Fred Versief was coming for a little while, then stopped coming as he and his wife became amongst the shut-ins. And little by little, we began to see a change in Fred Versief. We began to see him unable to remember things. And it frustrated him no end, as it does so many people. And he would say that, "I was known as the money man. Why can't I remember? Why can't I do?" And it was a terrible frustration. And at last, of course, Fred Versief succumbed and died. His great ability was cut off and went away. Not everyone has the opportunity to be raised in Christian homes and hear the Word of God from childhood. So there's a very limited time in which to bring the good news of salvation to human beings. How precious, then, the opportunity to receive the imperishable Word and to live it out in life. Are we all aware of the supreme good fortune that has been granted to us to hear, to receive, and to act on the Word of God? Paul addresses this subject in verse 22. He said, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And he's speaking now to believers, of course, those who have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Dear ones, how did we receive such a privilege? Did we deserve it? Was there something in us which gave us a favorable position in the sight of God that others did not or could not have? No. Every one of us were lost sinners, deserving judgment and condemnation. But by God's grace, last Sunday night, there's nothing cheap about grace. But by God's grace, we were led to wash in the blood of the Lord Jesus and to obey the truth through the Spirit. The one thing we can do always and forever is to rejoice in the Lord our God and to live for Him through life's little day. Now He draws us into the church, and we are given another privilege. We were given the blessing of a spiritual family and given the opportunity to show forth the sincere love of the brethren. In recognition of that glorious opportunity, He now urges upon us to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, that's what is to characterize the family of God gathered into a local church. I smile about this because in going through these talks with Bridge Baptist since last June, we were warned of the need to pray earnestly because of Satan's predictable efforts to disrupt the fellowship. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we have not been without some stress points in the process. In fact, I myself have caused some of those stress points. I don't say that proudly, but just as a matter of fact. I was so glad the other night when a vibrant discussion got going and people were finally able to express some of their concerns. But did you notice something? Those concerns were expressed respectfully. And when the opportunity was given at last to mark a ballot, it was evident that people were of one mind and of one heart in their desire to move forward. Christians, having the opportunity to openly discuss, to openly share their hearts, whether those thoughts were all in accord with what we were doing or not, or whether those thoughts were in any way ever critical or might be tempted to be critical, nevertheless, the reality is that we had a wonderful, wonderful evening together. How my heart was blessed by that fact as our people expressed their desire to move forward. And now we have taken a step of faith, and next Sunday we have the opportunity to open our arms and begin to love one another fervently with a pure heart, including a new group of believers within those arms of love. Ah, dear ones, rejoice in this opportunity. Because it's not always been so with churches. Perhaps some have experienced churches in which something other than fervent love for one another has been expressed. When that happens, people have gone away from some of those churches bruised, sometimes disillusioned, sometimes unwilling to give any other church a chance. In those situations, Satan has won victories in the hearts for whom Christ shed his precious blood. If anyone has experienced such a breakdown in God's purpose for the church, we ask that you will receive the grace of God anew and allow the Spirit of God to again work through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, this is the gospel, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Oh, dear ones, here's the source of our salvation then. Now, this real source of our salvation, of course, was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the real source, ultimately, was the love of God which sent Jesus Christ to this earth. But when we speak about the source coming from the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, what we're saying is that we would not have known of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ or the love of God had it not been implanted in us by the incorruptible Word of God which lives and abides forever. He planted the seed. He nourished it. He blessed it to open up our hearts, to bring us to that point where at last we freely received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and the seed of the Word of God had done its work to bring us to faith, to bring us to Christ. May the Lord bless you as we have shared this time again tonight. Thank you. Now thank you, Father in heaven, for your mercy and for the Word of God, which you have brought to us, the living Word, complete from Genesis to Revelation, unchanging through the centuries, unless man has got in and meddled with it. Dear Father, I thank you that the Word of God is reliable. We can trust your word to save our souls and to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.